Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. It is always exciting when the band's back together. We have Venerable Tom Dorian.
Hello.
And we have Ziggy Rodriguez.
That's me.
And so I am so excited because usually I drive like I'm sitting behind the controls and I got the steering wheel and I'm telling the kids to pipe down and I'm choosing the music on the radio. That's usually me. But this show idea was Ziggy's. And so he said, we need to talk about plenary indulgences. And I'm like going, what are those again? So Tom and I are going to actually be the everyman in this show.
Ooh.
And Ziggy's going to run the show. So here you go. I'm handing you the reins.
No backseat driving by you. Let him go.
I'm side seat driving.
I'm going to keep you in check.
I'm sitting in the front. It's my car.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All that aside. Well, you know what, though? Before we start, I do want to say one thing. Mm-hmm. We're doing something different this year. Mm-hmm. This year, we are participating in I Give Catholic. So the Catholic Cafe is now a ministry that is approved that you can donate to through the wonderful campaign called I Give Catholic that happens on December 3rd this year. So it's an opportunity for you to, it's like a giving day for all ministries that are Catholic that have registered there. The Catholic Cafe is registered because we need your assistance. We need your help. We're trying to increase our reach. We're trying to increase our capabilities. We want to fire these clowns and get some really... No, I'm serious. I would never do that. You guys are the only ones that put up with me. But we're looking
Please.
At... Yes, no. The price is right, Tom, I have to admit. But we are trying to get... we want to have video capabilities, and we want to start doing a video podcast of this show. So to be able to do that, we've got to buy equipment. And so we've set ourselves a goal of $50,000. Last week I said it was $50 million. I was in error, but we will take $50 million. But we're just looking for a meager, tiny little $50,000. And so that just means 50,000 of our listeners just need to send a dollar.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to do. You just, you know, on whatever your device you use, whether it's your computer at home or at work, whether it's your mobile phone or whatever, you just Google I Give Catholic in Memphis, and you'll get to the Diocese of Memphis I Give Catholic page, and you'll see our ministry there. Or you can just go to I Give Catholic to their website, and then search for the Catholic Cafe radio show and podcast, and you will find us, and you will be able to help. And there's different levels of donors. We'd love to have you. If you want to be a corner boother, by the way, it's just $1,000. But
a corner boother.
But there's also the blue plate special for those who are a little more meager in terms of like what they can do. Anything is a gift to us.
Is it like a donut or a coffee?
No, it's just, you know what? The blue plate special. It's you know, people who are minding their money.
That sounds good.
But the point is, it's all good food here at the Catholic Cafe. Mm-hmm. So at whatever level you chime in, it's going to be so beneficial, and you are blessing us and allowing us to bless others with this ministry. So I Give Catholic Memphis, or I Give Catholic the Catholic Cafe, and you will be able to find us and support us. I'm just asking in a very special way that you consider that this year, as we have this sort of season of giving as we get near Christmas. So in between Thanksgiving and Christmas, when we're buying the gifts, think about buying a gift that keeps on giving, right? That you're essentially helping somebody else here, the Catholic Cafe, who may not have been able to listen to it, and that's what we're looking for. So, all that said...
It's going to be interesting, by the way. We've never done that before.
No, we've never done
ever,
that. Ever. No, I'll report back whether it was a miserable failure or it was a great success. Either way, I think it's important that I separate this I Give Catholic thing from the concept of indulgences, which is what we're going to talk about. Because when you give money to the Catholic Cafe, we are not springing anybody from purgatory. We're not promising.
You're not selling indulgences here?
We are not selling indulgences. I think that's forbidden, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
Somewhere, anyway, in our church law. But the point is, let's move into plenary indulgences. And you know what? Ziggy, I'm going to let you take it from here because I don't know what you're even talking about.
Well, today we're talking about the gift of plenary indulgences. And for me, as you know, I'll share as we get deeper into the show, this has actually become a very special part of my personal spirituality. And it's actually become an anchor point in discipline that has brought me closer to the Lord and our Blessed Mother and our family in heaven. But first, you know, since Deacon Jeff, you said that we want to make sure that we're talking to the everyman here, and not everyone understands.
That's me and Tom.
That's you and Tom, right? And that you guys, that the everyman doesn't necessarily know what an indulgence is or even what purgatory is. So we probably should not just start skipping straight to what a plenary indulgence is.
I also want to help those who, there are people that kind of know about indulgences,
yeah,
and but they have a view of indulgences that might not be totally in line with what the church teaches,
right?
Because I've heard people say
more in line with Luther.
Well, they're thinking like, you know what, I'm just a simple Catholic, I love Jesus, I love my church, I listen to my pastor's homilies, I follow my bishop, I do all these things, and I just keep my life simple. Why do I need to complicate it with all these rules and all these ways to, like, skip line?
Yeah, you know, those are fair questions, too.
They are fair questions, and so, but the sadness is someone who's not taking advantage of what essentially is a well of grace, that's problematic for me. I think, like, think of all the ways we could use grace. So we need to look from that perspective of all people who either don't know what an indulgence is, don't fully understand the indulgence, think that, do we still do indulgences in the Catholic Church?
Right,
right. Didn't we get rid of those? Didn't Martin Luther kick them out, you know?
Right.
But anyway, that's where we are.
Well, and I think we should probably begin with just a brief overview of purgatory as well, right? And not and just to say very quickly some things about purgatory, right? So some people might have some misconceptions that, you know, for all eternity, there's going to be people that are in heaven, purgatory, and hell, and that's not true, right? So, like, if people who are in purgatory, souls that are in purgatory, they're on their way to heaven, right? They're on their way to heaven. So, purgatory, heaven is a final destination, hell is a final destination, purgatory is not.
Right? I like to look at purgatory as, like, a holy car wash.
There you go, yes.
You are on your way to your destination.
Right.
Which is purgatory. The only destination from purgatory is heaven.
Right.
Right. But you're
you don't flunk out of purgatory and end up in hell.
You can't. Yeah. You can't. They can't go like, oh, while we were here, we discovered some problems under the hood.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's just you are on your way, but you're being purified, purged
right.
of attachment to sin and all these things.
Right. And so one of the things that we should also mention here is just the nature of sin. Like sin. A lot of times we are very blind to the impact that sin has. A lot of times we tell ourselves, well, this isn't really a sin anyhow, right? I'm doing this. A lot of times we choose sin under the aspect of good, St. Thomas Aquinas says, right? So we've convinced ourselves that this or that thing actually is good, and if God really loved us, he'd let us have it, right? And so we get very confused about the impact of sin, how it's impacting us, how it's impacting others around us, how it's impacting just the kingdom of God, right? Like, there are consequences. We did that show on spiritual physics, or that series of shows a couple of years ago on spiritual physics.
I'm still resting from that. Heavy lifting.
But what that means is, like, sin has consequences, and it's not just, including interior consequences, right? So, like, sin darkens the intellect. When we sin, we get a little stupider, right? Because we're a little bit more inclined to convince ourselves that it's really okay to do this or that bad thing, right? It weakens the will, right? And so, you know, when we sin and we can continue sinning, our will to avoid that sin becomes weaker and weaker, because it also inclines us to evil. We become more inclined to keep on sinning, okay? And so when we are in heaven, you know, it's not just because God's majesty is so perfect that's why we have to be brought to perfection. It's also that, but it's also the case that, you know, in order for us to actually receive the gift of heaven, right, where we are all freely choosing to be in perfect communion with every other person in heaven for all eternity, to perfectly love, to perfectly see with God's eyes, right, and receive one another with God's heart. That, you know, blessed are the pure in spirit, blessed are the pure of heart, they shall see the face of God, right? Like, that's one of the Beatitudes. So In order for us to actually live the life of heaven, functionally speaking, we have to undergo this purgation. Our heart has to be set free from these things that incline us
to sin. You gotta get cleaned
up. We have to.
Well,
yes.
And also the scriptures tell us that nothing unclean can go to heaven, essentially.
Yes.
I mean, it was just like, well, nothing, there's no uncleanliness there.
Right.
Everything has been purified, white, clean, you know, whiter than snow.
Yes, exactly. And so when those who are in purgatory, that's primarily what's being dealt with. And also, there's also, as we mentioned, there's temporal consequences in which we've also affected others by our sins as well. That's also like brought into the sort of the justice that's being meted out through purgatory, right? But at the end of the day, the fact of the matter is that we have some serious purification to do, right? And so plenary indulgences are an act of, or indulgences in general, they are instituted by the church, by the church's authority. And I think that that's an important moment for us to take a step and acknowledge just church authority, apostolic authority, because, you know, our Lord Jesus, in speaking to the apostles, and, you know, for those of us who have been listening to the Catholic Cafe for a while, you'll know that the bishops today are apostolic successors. They all received their office of bishop through the laying on of hands from another bishop, who received it from the laying on of hands from another bishop, tracing all the way back to the original apostles. In India, most of them will trace back to St. Thomas the Apostle. In Greece, a lot of them are going to trace back to John, right? So depending on their region, they're going to have different apostolic, you know, lines of succession. But every single one of them is an apostolic successor. And so the church, you know, went as the church codified, right, or canonized scripture, for example, and said, because there's a lot of scripture that was going around in the 300s AD. When I say a lot of scripture, I'm saying with a lowercase s, there was a lot of books that people, a lot of Christian writings.
They had to sift through a lot of stuff to make sure that it was like bona fide.
Right, exactly. And so it was under church authority that these apostolic successors said, this is the Bible, this is the Old Testament, and this is the New Testament. These documents, nothing more, nothing less, right? And so church authority, Jesus himself said to the apostles, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, what you loose on earth will be loosed on heaven. And so he's entrusting to his apostles and their successors authority, right? And the church has over the millennia, has decided to exercise her authority in granting indulgences that allow people to basically experience some of that purification while here on earth. And we want to clarify something. So there's a partial indulgence and there's a plenary indulgence, right? So a partial indulgence is, it wipes partially your time in purgatory. A plenary indulgence, generally speaking, so it has the capacity potentially to wipe out all a person's time in purgatory, but there's a catch, okay? And there's a certain conditions for a plenary indulgence, but the big catch is you only receive that grace to the extent that you are interiorly detached to sin.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
Before we get into all the requirements and the specifics about that, I do want to read two catechism passages that kind of give you an overview of what an indulgence is.
Yeah.
And I read this because, again, for those Catholics who are like, I don't want to complicate my faith life with all this stuff, and I don't know that we need to be doing this. This is part of who we are as Catholics. This is part of the Church. But in the paragraph 1471, the Catechism says, an indulgence is a remission before God of the temporal punishment due to sins whose guilt has already been forgiven, which the faithful Christian who is duly disposed gains under certain prescribed conditions through the action of the Church, which, as the minister of redemption, dispenses and applies with authority the treasury of the satisfactions of Christ and the saints. And then that's very legal definition.
Yeah.
But it's all the stuff you just said.
Yes.
But then also in paragraph 1478, an indulgence is obtained through the Church, who, by virtue of the power of binding and loosing, granted her by Christ Jesus, intervenes in favor of individual Christians and opens for them the treasury of the merits of Christ and the saints to obtain from the Father of mercies the remission of the temporal punishments due for their sins. Thus, the church does not want simply to come to the aid of these Christians, but also to spur them to works of devotion, penance, and charity. So it's like there's a reason for these indulgences. It's not just to eliminate the temporal punishments, like you refer to it as time in purgatory,
right,
in separating you from all the sinful inclination you've had before,
right,
and the scars due to sins that have been forgiven.
Right.
A lot of people ask about that, and I say, well, look, think of it like this. Imagine a piece of wood, and sin is a nail, and you drive that nail into the wood, and then you take the hammer, which is with God's mercy and forgiveness, and you pull that nail out. The sin is forgiven, the nail is removed, but there's still a hole. Mm-hmm. Right, so there's a scar. There's even though it's healed, and so there are different kinds of punishment. There's eternal punishment, and then there's temporal punishments. And so even in scriptures, we have examples where David was forgiven, but his firstborn son was taken from him. The Lord forgave the grumbling Israelites, but refused to let some of them enter into the promised land. And you start to realize, like, but you forgave them, but then you're also punishing them. I mean, and also the wages of sin are death, right? But God reconciled us through his son, and yet we still die. Mm-hmm. So there are still temporal punishments that the church helps us with in her authority. And so when people say, I'm not really 100% like sold on this whole indulgence things, I don't need all that stuff. The reality is, why do you not want grace? I mean, imagine like that there's this well of grace, right, that's available to us. Why would you not want to drink from that water? Why would you not want to quench your thirst with God's grace when it's there available for you? It's like being famished, being hungry, and walking, pacing back and forth in the kitchen. Like, I'm just so hungry, but you're walking past a pantry door that's closed that has tons of food on the other side of it. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is turn that handle and open. It's like, oh, hey, this is good stuff.
Right.
And the reality is, a lot of people don't realize that indulgences, while there were some problems before, that wasn't the church's teaching.
Yeah.
The church never taught about selling indulgences and things like this. Individuals did things.
Yeah, it was a practice that was very bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's not sanctioned by the church, and nor is it continuing to be done.
Right. No, absolutely. And I think the other thing that to mention, so in terms of, like I had said before, that this has been a part of my own personal spirituality, like, let's put this into perspective. Like, first of all, the church is very generous in dispensing plenary indulgences, because there's some fairly simple things that can be done by which a person can receive potentially a plenary indulgence. So 30 minutes of Eucharistic adoration, including before a tabernacle, is one example. Another example is saying a rosary as a part of a group. And so that includes, like, a lot of times it's, you know, church ladies after Mass gather to say a rosary together. It's not always just women, but it seems a lot of times it's mainly women, right?
The church ladies are empowering. They do the thing.
Right. And if you've joined them for the
figure of speech.
If you've joined them for the rosary, you notice they end the rosary oftentimes praying for the Pope and his intentions. Why? Because that's one of the conditions for a plenary indulgence. So you have to do the act itself. And like I said, like 30 minutes of adoration before the Blessed Sacrament or saying a rosary as a group, those count. You have to pray for the Pope and his intentions. And you also have to have received communion, I believe, within the past 8 days or within 8 days of the act, and also attend confession within 8 days of the act. Right.
Yeah. The 8 days I'm not sure about. In looking at, so I have in my hands a neat book that everybody should go and buy.
Yeah.
It's called The Handbook of Indulgences, Norms and Grants. It's published by the USCCB, but it's based on universal law, the church. So it comes from the Vatican. It's approved by the Vatican. And basically it tells you all the norms for indulgences, how they're attained, obtained, and
communion, I think, has to be the same day. Isn't that the case? But confession can be
within
8 days.
So I will read you the very specifics. Now, the one that throws people off is the first part where it says, the exclusion of all attachment to sin,
yeah,
even venial sin, right?
Yeah, we'll focus on that in a second.
Yeah, but here's what it says. It says, this is in the Norms for Indulgences, number 23. Beside the exclusion of all attachment to sin, even venial sin, the requirements for gaining a plenary indulgence are the performance of the indulgenced work and fulfillment of three conditions: sacramental confession, Eucharistic communion, and prayer for the Pope's intentions. Several plenary indulgences may be gained on the basis of a single sacramental confession. Only one may be gained, however, on the basis of a single Eucharistic communion and prayer for the Pope's intentions. The three conditions may be carried out several days preceding or following performance of the prescribed work, but it is more fitting that the communion and the prayer for the Pope's intentions take place on the day the work is performed. So technically, it's not necessarily 8 days.
Right.
Now, there may be local particular law that a bishop says, hey, we're going to give, I'm going to through the authority of the church and as a successor of the apostles and upon approval by the Holy Father, we're going to offer a plenary indulgence for those who come to the dedication of our new cathedral. And he may prescribe that you have to receive sacramental confession with it within 8 days either way.
Sure.
Or something like that. But it's not specifically required. It just means, it just needs to be near the occasion. The confession needs to be near. And it needs to be done in connection with those works.
Right. And so, like, for myself, I have been motivated to go to confession on a weekly basis. You know, through God's grace, I haven't needed, so to speak, to go to confession on a weekly basis for quite a long time. But I mean, in order to be admitted to communion, but at the same time, I find a lot of grace comes from going to regular confession, including weekly. And I know that's not for everybody. But one of the things that keeps me anchored in the desire to go to confession on a weekly basis and to go to adoration for 30 minutes on a daily basis or pray a rosary with a group on a daily basis and attend Mass on a daily basis is this gift of plenary indulgences, right? But it's not just for me, right? Like, so a couple of things. One, going back into you only receive the grace for yourself to the extent of your, you know, interior detachment to sin. That's a tall order. Most of us still have attachments to sin in some way, right? And so again, this is not just sort of, voila, I've done it. If I die, I don't go to purgatory. No, that's not what this is. But there are still graces of you're getting clean, cleansed and purified as much as you can, you know, like,
yeah. Now the only way you can, like, sort of, I'll just say, I don't like to use the word guarantee, but the only way you're pretty much know you're going to heaven is if you get hit by a bus, literally when you walk out of the confessional after you've done your plenary indulgence,
right?
Then you get hit by the bus. Well, then it's like, well, that might be your get out of jail free card. I don't know.
But so as a result, because I try to seek a plenary indulgence every day, which I know is not a good fit for everybody, but I'm just, you know, here's my psychology, so to speak, as I approach this, is I entrust them to our Blessed Mother, you know, and it brings me closer to our Blessed Mother because she loves the holy souls in purgatory. They're her children too, right? And so in offering and trusting these indulgences, because they can be used for you or on behalf of a holy soul, by entrusting them to Our Lady, she might bless me with the graces, you know, as she sees fit, or she might use them to release souls from purgatory. Could be family members or friends of yours, right? Or it could be someone else that she has hand-selected in accordance with the intentions of her Immaculate Heart. Or even if it's not a family or friend of yours, it could still be a personal selection. You know, if you have some sort of an occupation that doesn't have a patron saint, she may very well intercede to bring someone out of purgatory to intercede for you, because you can trust that those people who God has used you to help bring them out of purgatory, they're, as saints, they're going to be praying for you in heaven. And so she might be bringing people out of purgatory who would have a patronage that is personal to you in some way. And so there's a lot of different ways that, you know, that it could be a blessing to sort of entrust them to Our Lady, both because it's a way to bless Our Lady and it's a way to bless the holy souls. And we won't see until we go to our final reward, our eternal reward, the effects of what this was. But I can tell you this, from a personal perspective, I've grown by pursuing this, and it has helped me desire to strive more for virtue and to grow in my faith and to become more pure. And so for me, it's become a great anchor point.
That's awesome. And I can personally attest, we're on radio, but I can tell you that I look at Sam's beard, it is fuller. It is more manly. You have a wonderful beard. No, it really, I think the graces that you're talking about, that's quite beautiful. You mentioned a couple of things like adoration and rosaries. But in this book of indulgences, the handbook of indulgences, praying the Anima Christi, visiting the patriarchal basilicas in Rome, visiting a cemetery, visiting a catacomb, doing the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Constantinopolitan Creed, I can say it, adoration of the cross, office for the dead, teaching or studying Christian doctrine, going to a priest's first holy mass. There are literally, there's a whole pile of things that are universally granted by the Holy Father, by the Church, and can be done by you. Just look at these things. There's some beautiful prayers that you can say, praying as a family. There's a lot of things you can do that when you do them, connected to a confession and prayers for the Holy Father's intentions and receiving communion, that either plenary or partial indulgences are gonna come your way. It's just more grace, and the more grace there is, the better off you are. In this life, because it's the grace, God's divine life poured into us, poured out for us, that sustains us. We can't live without that grace. It's by that grace that we are alive, that we were ever created, that we want to know Him and come to be with Him, and essentially that we're healed when we struggle. And so it's like we have to have this grace. So don't fall into the trap of thinking this is too complicated, I can't do this. And honestly, worrying about make a prayer that you are detached. Give your sin to Jesus. Lay it at the foot of the cross and pray for that total detachment from sin. This is a beautiful opportunity for us. This is a way in which we can come grow closer to God. We can also help those souls in purgatory. So let's ask the Blessed Mother, give her the blessings of being part of this indulgence process. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.